Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Halloween episode of Pod Stallions. I'm Brian, and beside me is Jason. Hello, sir.
Hello, Brian.
I'd
Hello,
like
happy Halloween.
happy Halloween. I'd like to put aside the tabloid rumors. Here we are. Yes, I started.
They're getting pretty
Well,
racy.
yeah. I mean, that photo of you and Pete Davidson didn't really help, but.
Well, and you know what everyone's thinking, and it's like, no, we're not sleeping together. We're just friends. I'm just friends with Pete Davidson.
He is the spirit
You know?
Halloween of relationships, though.
He is. He really is. And he's only like 12.
Yeah, no, he's 12 and he's weirdly likable. And I started a side project podcast that's for Toronto people who are over 50.
Oh, God. I'm so glad you said that, first of all, because it's nothing to do with the episode or anything, but I have to say, run, don't walk to the John Candy documentary on Amazon.
I
You're
don't
not going to
want
watch it?
to. I, you know how we were just talking about James Gunn and animals and how I don't want to have an ugly cry tonight? That's
Oh, you don't have to watch it tonight, but
no, what I'm
you
saying
can't
is
not
that
see
I
it.
don't ever want to watch it because I think that's going to be hard as hell. John
It's
Candy, and
not.
we should let's do a
You
November
can't.
episode about John Candy, okay?
We should.
Yeah,
I'd just say
because.
it was good, but just to see the material.
Oh
You
yeah.
know, I would have done things much differently and would have highlighted much more of his skills, but maybe they didn't have the budget for clips or whatever. But it's
Yeah.
just, you know, you just
I
reminded
just
me of what a
I've
spirit he
been
was.
my recent days, like I saw that advertised and went, nope, don't want to cry. And I went over to YouTube and I watched SCTV commercial clips, the little parodies they did. And
Yeah.
I was just marveling at Candy. Like I've looked at I don't remember a life without John Candy. Like
Yeah.
he's on kids shows when I was four. And it's just one of those things that let's do a whole John Candy episode because it's not very
We
Halloween-y.
should, but it's a lovely tribute to Toronto
Oh, wonderful.
and
Yeah.
Canada and everything as well.
I'm just yeah, I will watch it. But like Michelle and I were both like, I don't
Can't
want
not.
to cry. I don't want to cry. It's like because we're
We'll
both.
do it in 5 minute increments then, so you don't cry.
Well, yeah, okay. But what if I start
With
crying
the
and I turn it
sound
off
off.
and then I turn it on again and I start crying again? That won't really work very well. So
Well, you know, we all got to tough through it together, so
anyway,
we
our
can get through it
episode
together.
this week is mummies.
And I know what you're thinking, but we're not talking about mothers.
Oh
We're
shit.
actually talking about mummies.
Then I guess I'll throw those notes away. Hey everyone, we're back with the show. We had a little bit of a technical problem. We got about an hour into the subject of mummies when we both realized we'd done this before. And we
You know,
didn't.
if it's a good thing, like it's also natural and so fresh that we just don't notice, or if we're both kind of losing our minds, I don't know
Oh,
which is
well,
worse.
I think for in my case, that's an even thing, a little bit of that.
Even odds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I yeah, it was funny. The reason I don't want to just do it again was what if we were like really hypocritical and had changed our minds on
Wouldn't
everything,
that be funny? Wouldn't that
Yeah.
be funny?
Unfortunately, we never got to the Summers film.
No, we didn't. But I think we're pretty. If I, my feelings haven't changed, so if we did it 2 years ago, I know I said good things about it.
Yeah, I may have gotten more to the first one anyways. I may have warmed up to it more than I did before.
Well, it's just popcorn. You know, it was that time that
I
you know.
see. I see it as good entertainment. I never needed to go to any of the others though. But we did
No, I
this.
never saw. I didn't see those other than rentals, I don't think.
So I wanted to talk, switch gears, and talk about one of my favorite monsters, and that is King Kong. An episode we have not done, I hope.
No.
That, and if we have, we probably did it in the early days and we could probably revisit it anyways. But what was your first, like, for me, King Kong was always there.
Yeah.
And I think that
Yeah.
thanked the
And part of
comic
it was
book.
that, well, I was going to say for me, it was that horror book that I keep referring to, that
Oh yeah,
green
he
cover.
was the okay, yeah,
He's
right, the green
I
one.
think he's on the yeah, he's on the jacket or the inner sleeve or somewhere. It's Godzilla, I think, with the train maybe,
Yeah.
and Kong. He's in there somewhere, or he's in the book. And so I always kind of knew. And of course, the 76 movie, which I didn't see in the theater, is kind of primal, like that, the excitement over that at the time and everything.
Oh yeah,
But I
I
want to
loved
preface this.
that,
I
actually.
want to preface this by saying, I feel wrong calling Kong a monster. And he is one of the, and it's probably because he's an ape, and I love, apes and monkeys and stuff. I just it's such a heartbreaking story. It is so it's incredible that this thing has gone on as long as it has as a character, when it is such a heartbreaking story. And it's not something I revisit because of that. So for me, I'm going to start to get excited in this episode when we get to like New Kong, like Skull
Oh,
Island Kong.
yeah,
But
actually, you
what I
may.
mean is it's I love it, but it's one of those things that I just he you know like you go, what did he do? He didn't do
Oh,
anything wrong.
I get it. I
You
get
know.
it. I feel the same way about Frankenstein. You know,
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
my wife doesn't like watching those because she's like, I just feel sorry for him. You know, at the end, I want to
Exactly.
cry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but we're gonna do this. We're gonna power through it. But I'm just
Yeah,
saying,
yeah, yeah.
it breaks my heart. That movie just kills me. You know,
Yeah,
it's
I
sad.
think you're a normal functioning human to not love that guy. He or so to, sorry that you do love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
I love him.
Yeah,
I love him. I
I
want him to be left alone. He just wants to be left alone, man.
Yeah. Well,
You
and
know.
here's the thing about it for me. He was such a I guess he was such a thumbprint on pop culture. He just never went away. People kept
No.
talking about it, remaking it, knocking it the hell off. And you know, I was going to say that my first recollections of King Kong, I always think of those poster ads and comic books, you know, and I would look at every single one of those, and
Oh, yeah.
it was always Kong in there, you know.
Yeah, W.C. Fields, Kong, maybe a Tarzan one.
I didn't understand why
Yeah.
Captain America looked like a dirty hippie.
It was that crazy
It
time
was that Easy
in
Rider poster. Do you
yeah,
remember that?
where all the there was that crazy time. I just saw in that John Candy documentary, they got
Yeah.
some footage of him drumming in their house when he's a teenager. And behind his drum kit is that freaking W.C. Fields poster
Yeah, I saw
on the
that.
card.
Yeah.
And it's like that footage is from the, I don't want to say early 60s or whatever it was. So it was that weird time where all that black and white stuff was sort of, getting into the zeitgeist, and
Nostalgia.
going on,
Maybe it
nostalgia
was like
on
one of the
high school
first, yeah. Maybe it was one of the
college walks
first
and
pop
stuff.
culture nostalgia waves we had, you know?
Yeah, like Bogart, the Bogart poster, Greta Garbo,
Laurel and
I think
Hardy at every pizza place.
Laurel and Hardy at every pizza place. One of the movie theaters that I grew up in, Maplewood, the Maplewood Theater, which was the only one until they had a second one across the way. When you went into the lobby and you waited to go, when they put the cord on down and you went into your movie, up on the wall from one end to the other was nothing but black and white images. Butch and Sundance and Raquel Welch and Bogart and I think Brando maybe. And that's in the 70s,
Yeah.
so they probably did that in the late 60s or something. I don't know, but it's really fascinating how that stuff made its way. It was like a hipster kind of thing in the comic book. You go, well, let's put that on our wall, man. We gotta, we'll get the
Yeah.
Dead poster and maybe a Silver Surfer, and we gotta get an old one too. And it became cool, kind of. It's wild, but Kong was a big part of that.
Kong was and also Kong was in the ultra creepy Magic Shadows opening. That was that highly influential TVO series here in Canada, hosted by Elwe Yost. And there was like a cartoon Kong in the opening before a man's head explodes with tentacles.
Oh my.
Yeah, that starting's weird. But
Goodness.
yeah,
Also, I think that the term too gets into the vernacular where you can go like, well, look at this King Kong over here. This guy's like,
oh
that's
yeah.
King Kong. It becomes, it bled into the vernacular fairly quickly too, I think, in the 30s, didn't it? It just became a pop culture
Well,
thing,
you know,
right?
we're a better society for the joke ping pong balls.
I haven't thought of that in years. I haven't
I
thought of that in
think
years.
that jarred out of some dusty corner there.
Wow, that's a wow. That's right. That's like the Rod Stewart rumor about getting his stomach pumped. That's about that era for me.
You know what? I think
Stomp the
I
drum.
heard that, like, if I went around class in one day, I heard that Rod Stewart rumor about four different, you know, someone's least favorite
It's true, though.
singer.
It's true, man. It's true. My buddy's brother was a paramedic, and he was there. It's true.
It's
After a football game at the stadium, and no, it's true, man. I swear to God, I know a guy. He knows a guy. So dumb.
I
So
actually,
dumb.
not to get totally like weird, but I actually had a friend who swore his aunt was the nurse that removed a certain item from Richard Gere. And
Come on.
the only thing in
Come
that
on.
story that had any relevancy was his aunt was a nurse in Los Angeles. So I, you know, that's the only one that was like, okay, well, that person exists.
And this is the time. This is what's great about this is this is pre-internet.
Oh yeah.
When it takes something like that to take it, it takes a while for that, the other one about the there's a lady on our street. Now I heard this from a friend, lady on the street, and they were doing a surprise party for her, and they were down in the basement, and then she opened the door and there she was with peanut butter on her, and she poured her dog, that whole thing. Like, how does that make its way? I'm fascinated by those little urban
That
things.
traveled faster than important information.
Funny. Like, who was the first guy that said, you know what I heard about Rod Stewart? Get this.
Yeah.
And go tell the story. Like, who was the guy? And how did it get around? And everybody knows it of a certain age. Everybody knows that. So stupid.
So
It's just
stupid.
so juvenile. Stupid.
But
Oh,
I
okay.
think the
But
first
anyway.
time I saw King Kong was actually the 1933 film. I think at least clips of it or seeing it on
Yeah.
television, because I definitely would have watched. I was such a dinosaur stop motion kid,
Yeah.
and that film never has, I don't know, it's still so fun. And you know,
It's beautiful.
it's
Yeah,
beautiful
it's
and
beautiful.
has so much personality. You know, I
Yeah.
think I think the reason I went with my friends to the Empire State Building, and it was their wedding, so I was going, but I was actually excited to go to the Empire State Building, something I would have never done on my own, you know, but just because I really wanted to, you know, visit it for that reason, for Kong. Yeah, you know,
He's
and
still there.
he's not. I asked.
Oh, he's in.
I just missed him.
Okay.
But you know, and I was hoping there was something really cool to buy with Kong on it. There wasn't, but
Yeah, there should be like a tie-in or something, right?
yeah, I bought a copy of the DVD because I did not have it, and that
Fair
was
enough.
about it. Yeah, but I really do think it's all about how Willis O'Brien just nailed the personality of that character.
Oh, and I can, and that I can watch all day.
Oh yeah.
It's just, it is, this is when I get, I'm not going to name names, but let's just say every now and then in the background, I leave the YouTube on for the kids, that I don't have, And when I come back in, something's playing in the background. I'm unloading stuff or whatever. And certain brands of these gentlemen, shall we say, that want to do retro kind of reviews and stuff, they always take the time to criticize, you know, the effect or the thing, or like, you can totally see that, you know, you can tell Bob Hoskins is acting with nothing, you know, that's the only thing about Roger Rabbit. Like, they can't just put, you know, take the goggles, just watch it as it is. It has to be with today's eyes. And you can look at that movie and you know it's ancient animation.
Yeah.
It's primitive ancient effects work. And if you're critical, it's like, if you can't just immerse yourself in that, then there's something, maybe you shouldn't be someone who's critiquing.
Well, you can just be over, if you want, again, whether you're going to love this movie or hate this movie, you're right. But yeah, I'm taken aback by that, because there's just something, this movie has never probably ever looked, well, I'm sure it did in the 1930s. I'm sure that was mind blowing, but you know, past a certain era, I'd say past the 1950s, it's looked old fashioned, but
sure.
Unlike the, you know, like those terrible counterparts at the time, like those At the Earth's Core type movies where they just put plastic fins on lizards,
right,
where people mock that, Kong just has too much going for it to make fun of it. It's not make fun of, you know, it's timeless, and yeah, it doesn't look super great, but you know what, I wouldn't want to change it for the world, not one cell of it. And I'm gonna
got a sense of Go ahead.
When they colorized it, I think they did it damage.
See, I don't even remember that. Did they colorize it in the 90s?
Colorized it in the 90s, I think, because I was in a motel with a friend of mine, and he was watching it, and I was... Because then what I noticed is you could see how Kong's fur moves like it's on a life of its own. It draws attention to that. Whereas you're not paying attention to it in the black and white. It's probably still there, but you'd have to actually but I found with the color, it just, that's all you looked at.
Highlighted it kind of.
Yeah.
No, I didn't, I don't, I don't, I've never seen that. I don't know if I knew that they,
I don't recommend
that they did that. Yeah. It's just, and it's also got a sense of adventure to it. It's got a sense of scope and adventure.
Oh yeah.
And I think that, for decades since, you know, certain, you know, we all know that the dozens and dozens of directors and effects people that have been influenced by this movie, the first movie.
Oh yeah.
But also the sense of scope and adventure that, mm-hmm. that many directors and writers and creators have tried to recapture.
Yeah.
That sense of sort of, there's an island and it's hidden and it's, you know, there's a legend and I mean, it does have that. You know,
Edgar Rice Burroughs
time frame doesn't date any of that to me.
Yeah.
It all seems, you know, adventuresome and you know, the world was still new and discoverable and things like that. I love that shit.
Yeah, and there could be dinosaurs on that island.
Right.
And giant spiders. Yeah, right. And yeah. No, I
would you say Skull Island? You Skull Island.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense that there's dinosaurs. I thought you said Skill Island.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Skill Island's over there.
Skull Island for sure has dinosaurs. Yeah.
Yeah. Now Skulk Island.
But I love that you mentioned the fur thing, because that was one of those things that I read either in its Monsters maybe or Starlog. I don't know when I first discovered that it was, you realize that those are the fingerprints of Willis O'Brien.
Yeah.
You know, those are those little bits of, and I've never not thought about that with every viewing since I read it as a kid.
Neat, eh?
And it's like, oh wow, you know, it just makes you feel, I don't know what it is about that little detail that I just adore. It's so I love it. I really do love it. It's just hard for me to get to the end. I want to kill everybody.
And what's weird enough is that we never talk, I hear much about Son of Kong. at all.
Yeah, well, I hear more about Mighty Bill Young.
Yeah, Mighty Bill Young, which I think is basically, that's Willis O'Brien too, isn't it?
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah,
I believe it
again, is. Mighty Joe Young was praised mainly, I think, for the personality of Mighty Joe Young.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's been remade. Remember when they remade that? In the
90s?
Yes,
with Bill Paxton and...
what's her name? Jenna Elfman?
No, I was going to say Bill... No, wait a minute. I'm thinking of King Kong Lives, which I think had Linda Hamilton, maybe?
Linda Hamilton, and we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay, so Mighty Joe Young with Bill Paxton, and who was it? Jenna Elfman?
I thought it was Jenna Elfman. But you know what? Been. I never saw the film. I saw the commercial once.
Saw the trailer. Yeah. I was in the theater for the trailer.
Yeah.
Heard the laughter. And I went, yeah, you know. I love Paxton, but I don't think I can do it.
Actually, it got good reviews.
Oh, did it?
The Mighty Joe Young.
As good as...
Not King Kong Lives.
You mean the... No, no, you're talking about the remake.
Yeah, the Mighty... Both of them, actually.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, it, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
I remember it getting good reviews. Oh, wow, it was 98.
As good as Baby?
Like, it is. Oh, and it's not Jenna Elfman. It's Charlize Theron. And Bill
Charlize
Paxton.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, I seem to recall 90s, it got good reviews, but, you know.
Oh, okay. All right.
It didn't do well. Oh, no, actually, it's kind of a 6 out of 10. Oh, okay. I guess, some people liked it. Yeah, I think Ebert liked it. That's why.
Well,
that would have been
identified with the eight. I think.
I looked.
Sorry, Con.
So I made a mistake. Son of Kong was the smaller white ape, and Mighty Joe Young was basically another take on Kong.
Yeah, that's Willis kind of what O'Brien. I remembered. Yeah,
and then Mighty Joe Young actually came out in 16 years after Son of Kong bombed. Not really bombed, but it wasn't a hit. So I guess this
I don't
is...
remember Son of Kong. I know I've seen it, but I don't remember. What was the story there?
It was, I believe, that Carl is going back to Skull Island. Is that what it is? Yeah. He's like bankrupt. It's right after King Kong, I guess. And yeah, it doesn't have much of the same cast.
When did Kong have time to have a child?
I don't know. But they go back to Skull Island, and it's I can't remember this for the life of me. I remember reading it in the Crestwood book. But yeah, he has smaller white fur, and he's a happier. I think the film is a little more humor based than King Kong.
And okay.
It didn't get good reviews, and it's really largely forgotten. Like, it's something that, I know they now, I think they've given Kong a son again. But for a long time, this was the Cousin Oliver.
But you know, you're right. You never hear, I hear more about Mighty Joe Young over the years than Son of Kong. It never comes up.
No.
So then we get the next one, basically the Godzilla one. Is that the next?
I would think so. I mean, I think we're probably missing a lot of the knockoffs, and we can get into that a little later. But I think that's the major one. Is that if King Kong didn't exist, there'd be no Godzilla, which is a wonderful, that was, you know, Godzilla was the or King Kong was the inspiration for Godzilla. I love that.
Right.
So it's important that they decided to do battle. I guess after Godzilla hit in 59, this became the, does Godzilla think he's does Godzilla think he's tough? You know, he can't beat King Kong kind of thing, which is, again, how much King Kong was in our mindset.
And so that Kong in the Godzilla, I mean, it is called that in the movie. So was that like a partnership with RKO or something?
I believe so. Universal? Yeah, it's licensed. 100%.
Okay.
And by the way, Godzilla hit in 54, not in 59. And yeah, it's a different interpretation of Kong. As he's,
okay,
he's, this is a man in a suit. Now, It's not the last time.
The man in a suit with a funny face.
Yeah, but I mean, the pioneer for special effects is now going into man in suit territory. I find that kind of, you know, a step backward, but still he's in the zeitgeist and he's popular. And I have seen this movie 100 times.
Really?
Oh God. Yeah. You know, that like the not so great movie, played it 1,000,000 times. And also it was like the movie they used for all their promo. So I was constantly being reminded of Godzilla versus King Kong as a kid. And there was a time I'd say that if you put that on, I'd kill you. You know what I mean? I was so sick of it. And then I don't know what the point, when the point it became, but I actually am looking forward to watching it again now.
I haven't seen, I've got the box set.
Yeah.
Like the Criterion box set, and I don't think I've even tried to watch it yet. It's just something.
Is that the book?
The big book thing.
I sold mine because I like the English dubs sometimes. And to not have that option is bothered me. So I have the English dub on Blu-ray, and that's childhood to me, you know?
I mean, it's one of those things too, that I don't know. This is what's fuzzy about the Japanese version of Kong. We've talked about, I think I've mentioned this many times on the show, one of my prized possessions that I still have from, I think, my 8th birthday. Somewhere my father found, it was like a Marvel soft cover, compendium of the Hulk.
Yeah.
And, that arc, Baltar, Baltan.
Yeah.
Baltan, that I just adored. And I mean, I've got every little piece and every missile and everything. Like, it's just, it was the greatest toy of my life. And on the back of the box, there's a photo. It's all in Japanese. And the back of the box has that photo of who's the robot one in Ultraman with the two antennas coming out the sides of his head? What's he called?
Now that you've asked me, I can't. I could tell my wife tomorrow. But I don't.
Well, there's that guy, and then there's like a. I think that one was kind of the sort of a bird neck, chicken kind of neck, maybe. I forget. And then there's a Kong.
Oh yeah.
There's a Kong that goes in this arc set.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember as a, and I don't. That could be the first thing that, you know, light bulb that went off in my head to go, what's King Kong doing in the. With these guys, like, I don't even know who these guys are. Like, I didn't know what's he doing. How do you get to Japan? What the hell happened?
He's making commercials.
I knew that before I even knew about the probably that I saw the Kong Godzilla movie.
I think I first heard about it in the Crestwood books, and I should have done the research from this, but I wonder if that's where the rumor started that there were two endings for this thing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that they were a couple.
No. Well, that could have been one of the endings, but no, what I mean is the American version Kong wins, but in the Japanese version Godzilla wins, and that is not true. But I've never heard that. Oh, really?
No, I never heard that. Is that a thing?
Okay, there was an Urban Legends comic book that came out years ago with Peter Bagg doing the Rod Stewart story real justice. And like 2 pages later, that was in that book. So yeah, it is a well-published. Yeah, and that was like a myth forever. And you know, sometimes you go through life and you think, oh, you know, there's this cut and this cut. And then that was just one that was like, no, that didn't happen, to my knowledge. Yeah. But I think the movie's quite whimsical, doesn't take itself very seriously, and it has a lot of fun parts. And it apparently was the best, like the second highest grossing film in Japan history, which makes sense.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it is still the most attended Godzilla movie to date. And I did not, well, I forgot about this because a friend of mine is obsessed with this. Originally, Willis O'Brien came up with the story, and he actually did some sketches where Kong was going to battle a giant Frankenstein's monster. And my friends painted that. He's obsessed with what it would have looked like, and it's really neat. I mean, I gotta admit. And I guess what happened was somebody gave the idea to Toho. It was then decided to change Godzilla with the Frankenstein monsters and scrapping a lot of what O'Brien's story is. But what I think is interesting is then Toho kind of did a giant Frankenstein later. And just kind of interesting. Like, Frankenstein conquers the world.
Oh, right, that Frankenstein. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I just kind of went into a little rabbit hole there. Because it
The
was
Frank.
starting to
Yeah, I always
flood
forget about
back.
the cousin, little Frankenstein cousin over in Japan.
Why were they transporting Frankenstein's heart
I don't know,
during the
but it's.
final
But I
days
love that
of
it's.
World War II?
I love that it's like referenced in War of the Gargantuans. And you go, oh wait, oh yeah, this is kind of a sequel to
It is a sequel. It is a
the
direct sequel. It's
Frankenstein
just
guy.
it's been lightly sanitized out of the US version.
That movie, I think I told you I rewatched that a while back, and it was that movie creeped me out as a
Oh
kid.
yeah, it
I
had
loved
some
it.
minutes,
But the putting a human in the mouth and spitting out the clothes
Oh yeah, it's brutal.
or the flowers or whatever is such an imprint on my brain as a little kid, like, oh my gosh. Like, I think I would have been less creeped out if he just threw the person in his mouth and walked away. But the fact that he like nya, and spit out the clothing, I was like, what? That is bizarre. That is truly bizarre because it's like, what? You can't have too much fiber in your diet. Like, what's the problem? Why don't you just eat everything? What's the issue? It's such a beautiful, weird, bizarre detail to put in there that I think it's one of
It's
those
like
things that sticks.
it captures what a little kid would think. You're right.
Yeah, it's you go, what is that about? And when I do talk to people, they go, oh yeah, is that the one where they eat the people and spit out? I'm like, yes, that's the one. And it's like imprinted on everybody. But
The
yeah,
words
they
get
were
stuck in
and
my
they're still.
throat was the greatest contribution to music ever.
Oh yeah. I mean, and that too. You go, well, is this a piss take? Is that what the movie
This
is?
is
Is that
like
what
the
they're doing?
world's longest song in the middle of a movie.
Yeah. And then it's like darkly comedic kind of, and they are really strange looking. They're
Oh,
scarier to
it's Russ
me.
Tamblyn too, isn't it?
Russ Tamblyn, who is dead in the movie. He's so dead in that movie. They even dub him in the English version.
He even admit he admitted something about his performance that it wasn't very good.
Or he was stoned the whole time or something, but he just was he they the one American they get, they go, we gotta dub his voice too, because he's just dead. So like I think
Think
in
his
the
mother
in
warned
the
him not to do it or something like that.
I don't know, but you can watch the trailer and it's Russ Tamblyn's voice. But in the movie, I think they had to even dub his voice because he was so flatlined
Yeah,
throughout,
he's Perry, he was Perry Como from SCTV.
Very. I'm
Oh,
still here.
Chiboga.
That's one of the greatest.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love the nightlife.
I was just talking to somebody and they're comparing it to Jerry Vale now. Is it Jerry Vale who's like 90 or something like that and he's still
Oh,
going
Jerry
out?
Vale's still kicking. Oh, he's still kicking, huh?
Or I think I can't remember if I'm right or not, but he doesn't actually sing his songs now. He just gets on the stage and dances. And a friend of mine
Jerry
just,
Vale?
yeah, but mate, let me make sure I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I think I do.
Jerry Vale. Oh, Frankie Valli?
Frankie Valli. Thank you. Yeah, sorry,
Oh,
Frankie
yeah. No,
Valli.
that is just,
But that's
well, the
like,
footage I've seen,
yeah.
that is wrong. That
But
is just
that's
wrong.
that Perry Como spoof that he just
It
comes out and does nothing.
there's it's so sad and cringy and like, what are you doing to this guy? Like,
He claims
this is
he's happy or
wrong.
something, but yeah, I sorry
I
to.
don't know. Something ain't right. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So that song, and then the okay. So now we get to. Is there two? Does he show up in Godzilla twice? Does
No,
he do another one?
he does not. What he does
He
show
does
up
not.
in is a follow-up film called King Kong Escapes, which was produced by Toho.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
it is absolutely one of my favorites. It was also a regular repeat on the not so great movie. And I
Yep.
especially, and you would probably remember this, there is a the villain's name is Doctor Who.
That's right. I remember
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. And
I
he looks
remember that.
badass and he has Paul Frees's voice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't thought of that. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And when
King Kong
they
Escape.
also came up with a follow-up cartoon, but the Doctor Who didn't look at all the same. And it was like, I was disappointed because that show started rerunning in the 80s. And I was like, oh, I want to see what Doctor Who looks like. And he's just.
And that cartoon was that was a 60s cartoon, right? Is that the one?
Yeah, it was Rankin Bass, and
Yeah.
it is, you know,
Rankin Bass, yeah.
it had a great theme
Yeah.
tune, and I
Remember
actually
that at
kind of,
all.
I
I mean,
was
I remember
fond
images of
of
it,
it.
but
Yeah.
I think they ever, I don't remember it ever airing
Oh.
near us or anything, but
Yeah,
I'd seen bits of it for
they
sure.
popped up around here in the early 80s. It might have been just a UHF station, you know, and I thought it was a fun cartoon.
I bet there's a bunch on YouTube. I'll have to revisit that.
Probably, yeah.
And then
It's
we get to 76, right?
yeah. Well, I want to. Yeah, but I want to play with King Kong Escapes a little bit,
Yeah, go for it.
because I honestly, this is like a Saturday morning cartoon come to life. It's so strange that they could, they basically spun the show off this, and it's a rare time when people did that, you know. And of course, now that's all they do. But I really like this the story in this. I love Mecha Kong, and that's probably the main. This movie's
Mecha
probably the
Kong.
main reason that he was in. You know, there's an ape in that line you were talking about earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because he's got these blades that come out of his chest.
Yeah, and I
And he
really
comes
just.
with an airplane. If that toy comes with an airplane with
Airplane.
paper wings that you push into his chest and then shoot a button out the back and it shoots out of his chest. Which I guess is kind of tying in the airplane battle at the end of the original movie, maybe or something. I could never figure that out. But they love stuff shooting out of stuff, so
Yep,
it's all good.
and God bless them. But yeah,
So
I.
that's probably where that came from then. The King Kong in that arc line
Yeah.
probably came from King Kong Escapes. Yeah,
Or yeah,
Mecha
at least
Kong.
the notion of it. Yeah.
Yeah,
So.
Mecha Kong's a great design. That's a great design. I love that. It's goofy, but I love it.
Oh, it's
You know?
fantastic, and it has lots of personality. And you know, I wasn't I, like I've I remember as a kid seeing a picture of you know, Toho King Kong and thinking he looks dorky. And he does look a little dorky, but I think he's I think he grows on you as you watch the films. You know, like the design.
Mecha.
No,
Yeah,
I mean just
because
the
he sings.
regular Kong too, Toho Kong, you know.
Oh, yeah. No,
Yeah,
he
I mean
does.
it
He
takes some
definitely.
getting used to because he is not the Kong of yore. He's not your dad's Kong.
He's not the emotive Kong that
Yeah.
we are familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. It's a different bag altogether. But, like you said, at the time, they're probably looking back at Willis O'Brien and going, eh. We can get, first of all, we can get it done faster. Let's just get a guy in a suit and get some ass kicking going on.
And
And
Toho wanted to include King Kong in Destroy All Monsters.
that was what I was thinking of.
But it
Okay, so
didn't work
not in that,
out.
but I was thinking,
Yeah, it didn't
right,
work out,
I remember.
and I was just reading this little tidbit here. It makes me laugh. It's the suit was reused on like, you know, one of their superhero shows as a villain.
Oh, yeah.
you know, and that happened a lot, and it's just
Yeah,
recycling.
like the Ultraman stuff, and
Yeah,
yeah.
what it kills me though is like, you know, the suit used in the second highest grossing movie was like then, you know, like, oh, we gotta use it in other shows and have guys kick the crap out of it.
Yeah, we're
Yeah.
still rebuilding shit over here.
Yeah.
We gotta, you know, let's recycle. Yeah. Okay, so then comes 76 Kong, right?
Correct.
Now this is it. I'm gonna say this is a phenomenon I've noticed in the last, I want to say, decade, maybe 15 years or so. That movie was kind of universally, when it was discussed, it was crap. I never thought it was crap. I never thought that. I think there's a lot of really good stuff in it, and I know what it's going for, but I've seen like an affection for that movie that's kind of swung around like in the last 10 or 12 years or so, where it's sort of been reevaluated and reappreciated. You know, I think what's that magazine we like? Because we're still into print.
Infinity?
Infinity.
Yeah.
I think they did a big article, maybe a cover story a while back,
Yeah.
a couple maybe for the anniversary or something. But that was a huge movie, right? I mean, that was a big budget, tons of merchandise, big movie. I think it did well, et cetera.
I loved being when did that film come out? 76 or 77?
76.
76? Okay, then I would have been five. And you know, there's giant gorillas everywhere. Not a bad time to be five. You know,
No.
they're you know, there's
No.
rubber gorillas and coloring books and posters and yeah, it model kits. I
Planet of
was
the Apes is
oh,
high
Planet of
on the
the Apes
chart.
is huge. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think it was just a really lovely experience. I'm very fond of that when I see that Kong poster. Where I think he's holding a rocket ship. I don't know.
Or he's straddling the two towers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think it's the same guy. I could be wrong. You would know, or we're going to get some letters. But I think it's the same artist who did that fold-out poster that came in with the Star Wars soundtrack LP, you know, the space battle fight that
Oh,
kind of looks
wow.
almost half finished. I think it's the same guy. I could be
No.
wrong, but somebody tell me. But
Yeah.
I love that art. I mean, that is the definition of the movie ain't going to look like this. You know, like that is a gorgeous that is a gorgeous poster of epic proportions that the movie could never live up to. But I love that poster. That's a great poster.
I've got a couple of B movies that like they got like either Gray Morrow or Neil Adams in
Gray
one
Morrow.
case, and you're just like you have made a very classy wrapper for this crap because none of this is in the film. You know?
I love it. I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. No, that's a gorgeous poster. That, and they made a puzzle out of that. They made a
Oh,
model kit.
Mego made a model kit, and actually, I've been talking to this fella, and there's more Mego toys, like Mego licensed toys in Japan that people aren't even aware of Kong, and some of them are really
Oh yeah.
neat, and they were given away, and he floods me with photos occasionally, and it's like, God, where, like. It's the movie came out 50 years ago, and we're still like going like, oh, have you seen this?
Finding stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they do like a straw that was like the two towers or something, or he's climbing?
Yeah,
Didn't
that
they do like
was
a
I don't
straw
know.
with,
They pitched it. I don't know if it came out or not. It might have come out. I don't actually like I have a few Mego Kong items. I have the Japanese Bulmark figure. And
oh, okay.
That
Okay.
one was really kind of cool. I love like I always buy rubber gorillas. That's a little side
But me
fetish of
didn't
mine.
Mego do a didn't
Mego
Mego
had the
do a
model kit. Yeah, Mego had a master toy license, and they did a model two. They pitched two model kits. They only got one. They pitched a lot of stuff that didn't come out. But their
they
big
didn't do like a
achievement.
rubber figure of some kind or something.
They
They didn't do
did
like a
plush. They did plush through
Jiggler.
Samet and Wells, and then they did Kong. I think it's called King Kong versus the World. It's this game where you set up the World Trade Center or
Well, the two
building,
towers, yeah.
And you put,
Yeah.
I don't think it's, and then you put Kong on top and you try to shoot him off with
Yeah.
a plane toy. I've actually played with one at one of the Mego meets, and it's really neat and it's huge.
Bill the Ape.
Pardon?
Bill the Ape, who got
Yeah,
brought here,
I
under
don't
duress.
own one. I just can't. It's just not my
Bill the Ape.
yeah. I'd love to get that Kong though, the out of the set, but.
That comes with it. I see. I'm surprised you couldn't, after all these years, that you wouldn't be able to find a loose one of the Kong that comes with that, because that's got to
I've
be
probably been
popping
in
up.
the room with it 100 times, but like my mind is elsewhere, or
Right.
it's
Right.
weird what you're
Did
what you.
Mego?
Yeah, sorry.
Wasn't it weird for Mego to make a model kit? Am I cr like how many model kits did they make?
Yeah, it was totally weird. And it's not a bad model kit, but they were always trying to get some other market. Like they were very they knew to spread it around, try to have
Right.
different divisions. And
Right.
so they were always doing stuff that you go, Mego did that? You're like, yeah, they would.
But that did that start a trend of Mego kits? Were there more kits that followed that?
No.
But that was it. So
Yeah.
it's kind of like Revell or Revel or whatever
Yeah.
the name was, doing the Power Lords line of action figures and using the same plastic as the
The
model
model
kits, that
kits,
flimsy
yeah.
kind of plastic. And you go, wait, why are you guys getting into action figures? None of this makes sense.
Yeah. Well,
So it's
with
kind of like that,
Mego,
like
they
they're trying
also
to get a different
th that's
market.
that
But
year.
why didn't they go after, why didn't they do like a big 12-inch, posable Kong or something? How come that didn't happen?
I actually don't know why. They just tried different, items. They were going to do a game, and I just want to tell you, like, they also made a line of Evel Knievel bike products in the
Oh,
70s
Mego
that,
did?
yeah, but that just bombed. That's, I'm just trying to say is like
Oh.
they were trying,
Oh.
they were trying to get their foot in the door somewhere.
Oh yeah,
And
I remember the prototype. My favorite are the prototype camping sets for the Kiss dolls.
stop.
It never got made. But they go rafting down the river on a weekend with little inflatable rafts
It kind of
and inner
writes
tubes.
itself. You just put,
It's brilliant. It's the greatest. Like, I don't know. What do we do with these guys? I don't know. Do they take time off ever? Do they? They get away and all? Like, yeah, they probably, but they can't take their makeup off. No, they can never take their makeup off. Okay, so they go camping in the full gear.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the full gear in the woods, in a
Well,
river.
I
What
think
do?
maybe the idea was that, they're touring.
Sleeping bag.
They and what four guys want, four guys who hang or have to work together every day want in their downtime is to be as close to each other as possible.
In the wilderness.
Yeah.
Out in the wilderness, that's where they thrive, Yeah, but no, I know. I have that Mego. I might still have it. That Bonavita Mego
Yeah.
book that I used to just drool over all the great
Yeah, I
shots and
still
stuff that
crack it and like need it, got it,
didn't get
need
made. Yeah, it's a beauty. But that movie did really well, I think, didn't it? I thought that movie did relatively well. It's just that it got a lot of shit when it came out. I don't think it got good reviews. It was long. I want to say the score might have even been by John Barry. I might be wrong about that. You'll have to look it up if you're in front of
I
your
am trying to look
device.
it up. The
Okay, but
score,
someone famous did the score, and it's a pretty great
John Barry,
score. John Barry,
the black
I
hole
mean, yeah, that's
guy.
top of the line. Top of the line. John Barry was the before Williams really hit with Jaws and Star Wars, Barry was the guy. He is, and it's a gorgeous score. Bridges is acting his face off. It's Jessica Lange's first. You got Charles Grodin. You got who else you got in there? Gavin MacLeod. I forget who else is in the movie. They do the update. Basically, it's basically the original, but they update it. A lot of it kind of works. But I think I remember that sketch on SNL with Belushi playing Dino De Laurentiis,
Yeah.
just going on and on about it. We got this gorilla, this ape is going to be the greatest ape of all time. We got a bigger robot ape. And they made a giant robot ape.
Yeah.
I don't think they really used, but for a couple of shots. But it's crazy looking, and they clearly couldn't figure out how exactly they were going to do this. But he kept going on about, he was bragging about how amazing the ape looked in the movie. And then of course we get there, and it does work. I mean, the ape, don't you think that it's what Baker's doing is working, you know, in those scenes and stuff?
I mean,
for the most part,
I'm one of those guys that I did not watch the film until I was like in my 40s.
What the fuck?
I'll tell you why.
I'm sorry. This better be the most traumatic, soul-infused reasoning you've ever given me for missing something until your 40s.
Well, okay, I can tell you why. The number one, Mad Magazine parody.
Did a gorilla attack you as a child or something?
No, I can tell you why I never watched it as a kid. It wasn't stop motion. And there were no dinosaurs in it.
Right. Right. But it was King Kong.
Yeah, I know. But I thought I actually didn't have a high opinion of it because at the time it didn't get the best of reviews.
And how did you know it wasn't stop motion? And what were you doing looking at reviews at 5 years old?
Well, no. Okay. First of all, there was no effing way I was actually going to see the film. My parents just, I didn't. You know, I was aware of it, but I was five, and I don't think they were going to take me to see it, and I didn't ask. I'd probably gone to the movies like three times in my life by that point. So
as you got older, when it was like it'd show up on TV,
ever remember it showing up on TV, but I do remember being like 10 or 11 and going to the Dominion Playworld store in the Oshawa Center and picking up, I think it was a Kong storybook from that movie because they just had a stack of unsold ones. I don't think the merch moved very well, and I remember I had cases and cases and cases of those Kong models in the 80s, but the they were a brick.
And was that the poster? Was that what the kit was? Was it the poster basically?
Yeah, basically.
Kind of? Okay. Yeah.
They were going to do a Skull Island one too, but it didn't happen. But there was a couple things, like my friends telling me that the movie isn't that good and that it's just a guy in a suit and there's no dinosaurs, just a big snake, which is probably just a regular snake. I read the Cracked or Mad Magazine parody of it. And I never ran into it on television or anything like that. And then I guess like I started talking to friends about it in my 20s, and a friend of mine lent it to me. Like, you know, I'd never thought to rent it because by this point I had this bad opinion of it. And I'd also read by my teens that it was kind of campy because somebody involved with Batman had written the script. I can't remember who it was. Oh, Lorenzo Semple Jr.
I believe it was Lorenzo Semple Jr. who also wrote 3 Days of the Condor. Yeah. Batman series episode, Flash Gordon, etc.
Yeah.
Legends. Got his autograph on one of my action figures that we made. But continue, please.
I just felt it was taking a piss. And
no,
this, I never... This is, anyway.
This is not an epic enough story for you.
Well, okay. I'll tell you the time I tried to watch it, I fell asleep.
There we go.
Yeah. And I fell asleep, which I was prone to in my 20s. But I mean, I got through the credits.
Right.
So I finally did.
It's always something with you, Tyler. It's always something.
Yeah.
It's always I don't ever change. I'm just saying don't ever change because I love that I still don't have you figured out. And when you pull that out of your pocket, I go, what? Not till you're 40s? There's so many boxes that I would tick that would go, at some point he would have seen this. He may not love it, but he would have seen it, you know, in the heyday.
There was always, if it...
The Galoob Star Trek action figures on the wall and video stores and everything else. He would have come across this movie at some point and seen it because it's got a monster in it or whatever, Mego. But no, not till your 40s. And I don't ever change. It's not a complaint. It's a fascinating.
No, I gotta tell you, if I was in a hotel room in Edmonton and it was on, I'd have watched it, but it wasn't. Shaft's Big Score was
so specific, so specific. Okay, so you finally see
the
it
last
in your
time
40s
I was super bored.
And you see it in your 40s, and you're like, or you like, you know,
well,
what are you?
I thought
you
it was.
It?
I thought it was actually better than I thought it would be.
See, your friends were wrong. You could have just seen it. Would not listen to your friends. And
it's still
it
not.
And
it's still not a favorite. I don't know what it is about it. I just think they. It has
long.
a little too much
It's
cynicism.
long.
It's a bit long.
Yeah.
And I think. I didn't realize this, well, or maybe I just forgot it. I'm not sure anymore, but this was because of Jaws that, you know, De Laurentiis did this. And,
Oh, yeah.
until he just decided to, like, I'll just make another Jaws with Orca.
I mean, he, you know, De Laurentiis gets a lot of shit for a lot of things that I don't think he deserves, because he really was, I think, I could be wrong, again, this the factoid someone should look up. I think he is the most successful Italian movie producer of all time.
Oh,
I'm
better for him existing.
Yeah, for every bit of cheese, there is something like 3 Days of the Condor.
Yeah,
you know, or you know, Dune, which, you know, we've talked about, and I know it's hit or miss for people, but. It's very forward thinking, you know, like to get the Flash Gordon rights and to, you know, to want to do Dune and to try to make an epic and so on. Like, he really was an extraordinary producer.
Oh, yeah.
For
No,
the output,
I'm not
there's
putting
so
him
much
down.
stuff. But to me it's a fascinating relic of that time where everything is about to change irrevocably in a year's time. This is the height of what you can do with special effects. You decided to make a remake of King Kong and make a realistic gorilla and a big robot hand, gorilla hand, and, you know, a mouth, you know, whatever the hell, and, you know, things to scale and miniatures and whatever. That was the best you could do for this at the time. I don't know what the budget was, but I'm guessing the budget was probably around $8 million, $7-8 million, and that was huge at the time. $10 million maybe.
Yeah,
it was a
big affair, and it showed on the screen.
Yeah, it absolutely showed, but it was going to look dated in a year because of Star Wars. Star Wars was going to hit,
yeah,
and it was going to change everything, and that would immediately go up. Oh, we got left in the dust. Like, that was, it's already changing so much that you know, and oddly, those guys go back to stop motion, and that's what they're doing. They're doing, you know, stop motion creatures for, you know, Empire and things like that, which is great. They do the backwards thing.
It's one of my favorite things about Star Wars is there is stop motion in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but it's fascinating for me at that time. It's like this weird kind of, you know, monster movies are kind of, you know, creature feature monster things are kind of hitting in the mid 70s, and Jaws is massive, and you get all these, you know, wannabes that are coming around or floating around, and then Kong. And there was also, I think, weren't there a set of glasses too?
Yeah, I have
like
one of
Burger
those.
King or...
Yeah, I don't
okay,
remember
so not...
where they come from, but I definitely have them. Yeah.
That's gotta be one of the earliest. I mean, you know, I was talking about this with someone the other day, cause they went to the Rose Bowl, swap meets every month. And they got a couple of the Return of the Jedi, and I think an Empire, Return of the Jedi, Burger King. And we were talking about that whole era of glassware, you know, Arby's and Taco Bell and Burger King and all this stuff. And I think, you know, you had like the Looney Tunes characters, and then like someone did Wizard of Id, I think, maybe Arby's, and, you know, Smuckers, I think, jam jars did like Disney characters and things like that.
Yeah.
But for a food tie-in, that might have been one of the earliest, you know, tie-ins to
the movie.
Because then 2 years later you get, or sorry, 3 years later you get the a year later you get all the Star Wars stuff that ties in, and then you eventually get the Happy Meal, which is the first licensed Happy Meal for McDonald's, is Star Trek the Motion Picture. But that those cons, so they really were betting on this thing to be pretty mega. I mean, it was like, I think it was a summer movie too, maybe, right?
Yeah, did it come out in the summer? I have a coloring book called Giant Apes that has nothing to do with King Kong, and I got it that summer. Which means that, like, not only were they expecting it to be a big hit, but people were already knocking the hell off of it in anticipation. Because you can't do anything with a gorilla, you know?
Yeah, it's, but it was, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that was Rick Baker who did the gorilla, and he's in the suit, right?
Yeah, he is in the suit, yeah.
Yeah. He does an admirable job. What he's given to do, and score is great.
I don't hate it, but I don't really like it that much.
No, it always and she felt weird to me.
Yeah, it's
like I never got the whole thing that her name's Dawn, Dwan instead of Dawn, and it was very kind of, you know, hey, I'm just hanging out on the boat, man, you know, and what day is it? Who, you know, dosed my drink or whatever? Like, it was just a weird kind of a 70s weird vibe with everybody, and it is very cold. It's a very cold movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Bridges, there's a drinking game you can play. Every time Bridges puts his hand through his hair, you take a drink.
No, thank
because
you.
He's constantly pulling his hair out of his face that movie. It's so long with the beat, and to have your leading guy have a big old, you know, friggin' Waylon Jennings beard.
Yeah.
You know, in a movie in 76, it was like, okay, you know, it's very of its time.
Hey, he was a pioneer for Mr. Chris Christopherson.
Listen, I didn't see it on the big screen. I saw it on TV.
Okay.
On the ABC Sunday night movie one night. Had to be 79 or so, however long that took. Whatever the first airing was, I'm sure I ran to see it because I wanted to see it. But I do remember. This is what I think of when I think of King Kong. Very similar to The Howling. When I think of that movie and my enduring memory from that movie. There was scene in there where Kong has Jessica Lange in his hand. And he wants her to take her top off. he either tries or he does a thing with his finger. Like, get the place to tell me, see what's going on. And she's going, no, stop it, whatever. Well, there was a magazine that I saw somewhere that had a photo that I believe showed, you know, what maybe, I don't remember if it's in the movie or I just saw it in this magazine.
This sounds like one of those, like, Superman bullet scenes, you know, like the stuff you saw on television. Well, when I was a kid, I remember going to the, I think like the library, and they showed clips from Superman the movie, and it was like all these machine guns shooting at him, and I was like, that's not in the movie. And I think it's like in the TV print.
So maybe it didn't. I seem to recall there's a photo that exists, and I'm not going to look it up because I don't do that kind of thing. But of Jessica Lange with something.
I'd get a notice on my phone if you did look up that thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If anybody ever finds my phone, they're going to go, look at these searches. What the fuck? Who is this guy? That shows a little more than either, or maybe it's even in the movie. I don't remember. But I saw that photo somewhere and I went, whoa. So in my kid mind, I already went, this is kind of an adult thing here. Maybe I shouldn't see this or whatever. but I did see it on the TV. On the TV screen. And then we get the Mighty Joe Young. No, the King Kong Lives.
King Kong Lives. Yeah. Well. De Laurentiis.
Isn't that De Laurentiis?
Yeah. He took like 11 years. I remember this so much because it was just like, what? Like, why are we getting this?
Is it 87?
86, I think. 86? It was 10 years. 86? Yeah. Yeah. And I think
Bill Paxton. No, yeah. Not Bill Paxton. What's the thing? No, it isn't Bill Paxton.
It is Brian Kerwin.
Brian Kerwin of Sheriff Lobo fame.
Yeah. You want to hear something really, really stupid that you're going
Ryan
to get mad
Gerwig.
at me for? I had
Uh-oh,
not
you've
seen
never
this
seen
for a
Sheriff
long
Lobo.
time. I had not seen this until I was much older as well, because I just heard it was crap. And it was a sequel to the, but I saw this well before I watched the first one.
Well, I believe. See, that all tracks, man.
Yeah.
I believe it. That's exactly. I believe it. Now, if
Yeah.
you say this one, I love.
Yeah,
That
no.
may be
No.
a bridge too far,
Oh no,
but I don't think I've
it's
ever
much
seen
worse
it.
than the other one.
I've never seen it.
Oh.
I just remember the trailer and the poster,
Well,
and I
you
thought,
know,
oh,
there's
the lady from the
a
Terminator is
magical
getting more work.
place. There's a magical place you can see it, probably on Tubi.
Right,
It's
exactly.
again not. I think you're right. I think a lot of people have an affection for the '76 film, and they've reevaluated it. And I don't really have a
Something
problem
about it. I
with.
don't know what it is.
I don't
I
have
don't
a
know what it is.
problem with their arguments. But if you started championing this one, I'd be like, come on, it is not very good.
That's your hook, the
Yeah.
movie Hook. That's your line in the sand. Although the Super Mario Brothers movie got reissued on DVD by, I want to say, Arrow, maybe, did like a limited box set with the steel book or something. Pre-sold out, completely pre-sold out. Can't get it on DVD.
Okay, first of all, yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I saw that film in the theater like opening weekend,
There are
and
people that love that movie. It's crazy.
when I was there for the Schadenfreude, like I saw the bad reviews, and my friends were like, let's go. And but I would rather buy a Blu-ray that's like a 3-hour documentary about the making of this thing than the film itself.
No, it's not a it's a terrible. I mean, they quit the business. The two
Yeah.
people that did it,
Yeah. And
they were the
that's what I
bedroom
want
people. They're
their
the hottest
story.
ticket in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were the hottest ticket in town, and they went, "What do you want to do? Let's video games. Look at this thing." And they never made another movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if they made television again or what, or they went to an insane asylum, but that drove them out of the business, I think,
Yeah.
those people.
You know, I mean,
But anyway, there's so that who knows? Like you always say.
yeah.
And your wife always says, this is somebody's favorite movie. So what I'm just
I
saying is that the 76 Kong
Yeah.
seems to have gotten a nostalgic reevaluation over the years,
Yeah.
as most things, I suppose. It's never been my cup of tea. I haven't seen it in a long, long, long time. But okay, so then you get the Mighty Joe Young remake, which is in, I want to say, late 90s with Charlize Theron and Paxton.
Yeah, I think we said like 99 or 98. That
Yeah.
keeps hope alive for a little while, and then of course
Yep.
Peter Jackson, fresh off, was it
Yeah. Now
fresh
this is.
off Lord of the, yeah, fresh off Lord of the Rings, does his
Yeah.
passion
What's
project.
your feeling about the Jackson movie?
I there's good in it, but I think the word I'd use is bombastic.
Good word. That's actually a
Yeah.
very good word.
Yeah. And I'll never forget it, because like my friend lent it to me, because I had two little kids at the time, and it wasn't worth sacrificing that. And so my friend gave me a DVD when it came out, and he says, "What'd you think of it?" And I explained my thoughts, and he went, "You know what I thought it needed more of? Young Jack," which is a joke I've never forgotten, because there's that young Jack character is heavily prominent in the first like 40 minutes of the film.
Oh, the oh, who is that? Oh, it's the dancing kid, Bobby
Yeah. I
Duvall.
I've
What's the
never I've
what's that?
tried
What's
to
the
rewatch
dancing?
it.
What's the dancing movie?
What's
Billy
the
Elliot. It's Billy
Billy
Elliot,
Elliot?
isn't it? Billy Elliot.
Oh, I okay.
It's him. I think I know. That's what you're talking about. That's the character you're talking about.
Yeah, I think
I
so.
think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Like he's. The cook kind of takes him under his wing, and he's the young, inexperienced kid who's trying
yeah,
to.
yeah. I get, but he's like got this huge spotlight on him, as if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he does.
You know, it was just like too, I don't know, too much at once for me. I don't know how to explain it.
No, listen, I gotta tell you, the bombastic is a great word because it really is every single scene is bombastic. It's over the top. It's, you know, she doesn't have a crust of bread to eat, and you know, and she's, you know, it's all very, it's not campy quite, but it's sort of leaning a certain way, and it's just big. Everything, like all the action is big. When they get to the island, you know, the camera is just moving around so much,
Yeah,
you know,
they're
in
being
between their
attacked from
legs,
every angle by
up their
everything.
nose, and yeah, it's on the creature's back, and then it's down the guy's throat and comes out his butt, and then it's over there. You can't breathe. You don't get it. It's like we can do anything with computers now. Yeah, but should you? Does that mean you should?
To me
You
it
know?
was the like the Lucas, remember like the Phantom Menace, the fights just have like 1 jillion ships and you can't even look
Yeah,
at it.
yeah.
That's kind of
Yeah,
it
you
was
just crank it up.
overwrought and I didn't dig it at all. And did it come out in 3D?
I don't believe so, but I did see it in the theater when it came out, and there was actually a nice line of toys came out for it. Like, if you just wanted to get the toys, they did some nice, you know, Kong action figures, and Kong was terrific. You know, the design and everything that Andy Serkis was doing,
Oh
it is
no.
it hands down the best thing in the movie. It's wonderful. You know, the emoting that, you know, that you think about the emotion that you attach to the first one, they crank up in this because of they don't overuse the technique and the technology, and it works. It's great. But it is just, by the time you get to, okay, this is where I went, come on, are you fucking kidding me? Was the ice skating scene in Central Park.
The little Bambi moment there, yeah.
That's where I just went, your God, is this again, is this a piss take? What are we doing here? You know, and even when he would drop her and she would fall and then go to the thing, and then he'd grab her again, and then he swings around and kicks a dinosaur, comes back and catches her again, and it was just frenetic. Just like everything he had done, it's a brilliant effect on the Lord of the Rings film, he cranked up on this movie, and I don't think it works. I really don't. And who's the lead? Oh, it's Adrian.
Adrian
Is it Adrian
Brody.
Brody? Adrian Brody. Boy, if you want your movie to sing, really get people out of their seats, get Adrian Brody to tackle the lead.
He was a really odd choice.
I never, ever, everything, for everything. He's had so many, you know, predators. I mean, he's had so many things. You go, really? But Naomi Watts was terrific, and Jack Black played it big and did what was necessary. I forget the other guy that's in everything. He was in it. The handsome fella. It's in everything. He's in everything. He's a dad in everything. The coach in Friday Night Lights or whatever his name is.
I don't know. I've never watched
But
Friday
you
Night
had Andy
Lights.
Serkis as like Cookie, the chef guy, and then you had that other guy, Ukumbumble, the guy that was in Lost, I think, maybe the black dude, the British guy that's in there. He's great. You know, there's stuff, but it is just, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And I do not dig it, you know. And I don't.
I was so kind of like I was going to think that perhaps he could surpass the original, that which was very naive. But boy, no. No, I was very disappointed
Yeah,
in
it's
it.
just, I feel, and I love him. I really do. I don't love everything he's done, but I feel like it's one of those things that you go, you know, I don't know if you saw Nosferatu, the newer one
I
from
did.
whatever it was. Now, we don't have to go into detail, but we know that that was a movie that dude wanted to make for, you know, 15 years or whatever it was. And sometimes you just kind of go, you know, for all the best intentions, maybe you're a little too close to this. Maybe you're, you know. And then with Kong, it's like you've learned the technology, you've used it to perfection in these three brilliant movies that you shot all at once. And then you went, well, let's turn the volume up. We can do anything. You know, the stuff that they did in the first one, we can replicate, but even go further. And, you know, and then of course you get to the ending where it's just, it's brutal again. It's just, it's a brutal, sad, you know, it's not a happy movie. It's not a fun, like if it, you know, that's why I love Skull Island so much.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you.
That is bliss to me.
It is a honest, fun adventure film with King Kong where he doesn't frickin' die.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'm watching in the theater, and I think he did a brilliant, I forget the guy's name, but I think he did a brilliant kind of fake out, because the first 20 minutes or so, it's letting the story get set up. John Goodman is bugging the guy at the government office. We need to get to Skull Island with his, you know, the assistant guy. Okay, we need to, but now we got to get a crew together. And everybody's kind of getting assembled.
Yeah.
And then you got a photographer and you're a woman. What is that about? And then, you know, Tom, what's his name, is like a, you know, plays, shoots pool, and he's handsome, and he's in the jungle, and he's kicking ass in a bar, and everything is, you know, what'd you do before the war, Sarge? For the first 20 minutes. And I'm going, you know, the music cues, like, you know, White Rabbit or whatever the fuck it was. And it was like, oh man, the second they're on the island and that fucking tree comes at the helicopter.
Yeah.
It all kicks up to a different movie. And I went, oh man. And that whole sequence, and then it never lets up.
Yeah.
And then you get John C. Reilly, you know, that character coming. I mean, I just love that freaking movie. I love that Kong. I love the design.
Me
and
too.
I love it. It's the one I've rewatched the most of any of those newer ones.
Yeah. I've found myself watching it, and, you know, it was kind of funny. It was, I think I like Brie Larson in everything but the Captain Marvel role. I don't know why. And it's not like it drives me crazy, but she's just not like as likable to me as she is in other films. You know,
I think she kind of made, I think she her choices were in how to play it, I think were mistaken. I think, yeah. I think she went sort of stone faced when it could have been more, you know, because she's great in the Kong and other bunch of other.
Oh, you know, she's fantastic in that movie, and I like her character, and you know, her chemistry with Loki there is good. It's really good.
Yeah. And her, I mean, they're emoting with nothing, you know, looking at Kong. Like, they're, you know, everybody gives it their all. Sam Jackson is, you know, he does, sometimes with Jackson, he's very subtle. And then sometimes it's like, you know, come on, well, you know, we're going to, and he's kind of a combination of both. But all the guys, what I loved about it, when that kicks off, what it did that most movies don't do, and it starts with the one kid, whose face, you know, dazed after they crash, and he goes, are we not going to talk about what just happened? Is nobody going to talk about this? Like, they're addressing what was, you know, there's a palpable sense of awe, and this, something's not right. This has never happened before. Where are we?
Yeah.
That most big budget things just kind of gloss over, like, oh, I guess we're, you know, let's go on to the next thing. But the characters are going, what is going on? Like, they're freaked out. These soldiers that were full of gusto are now terrified. And, you know, Kong is eating people. He's shaking the copter like a thing of Tic Tac, dumping guys out of it and fucking swallowing them and stuff. You know, it's really violent. I mean, it really goes for it. I just love it.
Yeah, I did too. And it was a hit. And
yeah,
I also like the look of the film. It's got some beautiful colors. If memory serves, it's not like one of those films where they tone back the colors.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. It just has a look to it, and you know, the island is really ominous. Even the stuff with the natives, I think it all works.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, again, back to that sense of adventure, that you have in the first one are like, we are really entering another world here. You know, when they're in the cave and Riley's kind of telling them the tale of the paintings on the walls and like, you know, Kong had parents and then this happened, then the skull creatures came up, you know, whatever. He just tells that matter of fact kind of story of Kong's life. And he's like, you know, you come to Kong's Island, you know, you're dropping bombs and he ain't going to like it. You know, you're going to wake him up and he's going to, you know, and you know that like, this is his town, man. You're in the, you got the wrong idea. You know, we need him and everything. It's just I just love it. I just think it's beautifully done. It's great.
It's also the movie that I think I left thinking like, oh, I'm really interested in this monarch thing now. Like I find it fascinating. Yeah. You know, I enjoyed, I think I enjoyed this series up until a point, and then it kind of got really like Carnival Thrill Ride, which I have friends who stand by them, but I haven't finished. I saw Godzilla versus Kong.
Godzilla versus Kong was great.
It was bananas.
Listen, here's my take on this stuff.
Yeah.
I go back and I watch the originals and I adore them.
Yeah.
I really do. I adore them. The bottom line is, and I've talked to Matt Weinhold about this many times, when I do watch them, I go, can we get to the creatures at some point? Are we gonna, you know, there's like a, you know, a young couple, an American and an Asian girl, and she's gotta ask her brother because he doesn't want her to get married to this guy and whatever, and you know, he doesn't make enough money or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's all character stuff or secret agent stuff or whatever, and then a couple of seconds of a monster and then a climax, and that's it. They're not really in it much. So for me, you know, I can go back to that first Godzilla in 2014 and admire the effort and there are scenes in it that really work for me, and Godzilla, when he does show up, that's when it kind of comes to life. But all the rest of the window dressing, I don't need that. I really don't. I just want to see the monsters doing their thing. And part of the charm of the originals too is that they're batshit. They're absolutely batshit. The concepts and the little, you know, Mothra twins and all that stuff, well, they go there with these new movies. So when you get to the one Lost Empire, whatever it's called, with the, you know, with Kong and Godzilla teaming up against this other, you know, this bad ape and this other thing, and you go into the world where it goes upside down like it did in the Godzilla versus Kong one, I'm going, bring it. This is as insane as anything in the original film. This is as goofy and as pulpy as anything in the original film. I think they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And for me, it's about, let me see these monsters fight. And some people, Matt kind of complains about some of the stuff in Godzilla King of the Monsters, when you get Rodan or you get whatever, that it's dark or it's raining or it's snowing or whatever. Okay. Well, then they kick it up in the Godzilla versus Kong and Lost Empire, where it's mostly daylight stuff. And they're extraordinary effects. I mean, you just buy these.
Oh, it's razzle dazzle, you know, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, and there is a little in the Lost Empire one, there is a little gorilla kid kind of that it's not his son, but at one point the little prick kind of backstabs Kong. First he wants him to get saved, and then Kong's like, here, have some of this meat that I just got. You can have some. And then he eats it. But he's going to betray him. And Kong picks him up by the legs and starts using him as like a bat to hit other apes.
Yeah.
He's tossing this kid around. And I'm going, this is insane. This is bonkers. This is a monster movie, a big old monster movie. And I love it. They're for some reason, they're comfort food to me. It's not about the acting or the script or anything. It's just pulpy. But most of all, I love that you go to the store now and there's an aisle half devoted to Godzilla toys.
Oh, for
you know, for 10 years, 15, 13 years, whatever it's been, there's been Godzilla and Kong, and then Kong and Godzilla, and there's Playmates has this license where they're doing, you know, I mean, these figures are only like $10, $8, $10 for a monster. Yeah,
the word kaiju is now recognized. We live.
Yeah.
There are some good things to this future.
There are hit. These are hit movies. they're going to keep making, and I love it.
I don't want them to stop, and I'm not one of those guys who's like taking it too seriously. I just have to just have to be in the mood for that sort of thing, and I just haven't been in the last couple of years in the mood for like complete nonsense, and I know I'll get there.
If I just watch it for Kong sometimes, like the facial movement and the you know, he learns to sign with the little girl that's in Godzilla versus Kong, and their thing, and you go, oh, well, when you get to the next movie, it's like the little twins with Mothra, like they all kind of can communicate with different creatures, whatever it is, and it's like, I just don't want him to die. I don't need Kong. I don't, you know, don't give me the final Kong versus whatever, and then he gets killed at the end, because it's he's got that look on his face. You know, I felt this way about Godzilla too, but Kong has that kind of look that's like, you know, I want to be your friend, but I can't trust you, and you know, why are you going to take me out of my home? I like it here. Why are you going to go here? And I'm you know, I'm lonely or whatever. So it's like the animal thing that we always talk about, where I can't even computerized. Yeah. I can't take it. But when he kicks ass, and also that they have let Godzilla, like in the Godzilla versus Kong one, where he kind of lets him know, you know, I am the alpha dude. I'm not going to kill you. I get it. Respect. But I'm the alpha. And Kong's like, yeah, okay, fair enough. Like, that's... Godzilla's still king of the monsters. You know, it's great.
I loved it in that Godzilla King of the Monsters movie too, because the end of it is so like Kiss My Ring.
Oh, so they're all like bowing down to him. Like, come on, come on. That is badass.
I remember walking out of that theater going, that scene alone was just the best, you know.
Badass. That is badass. And he's kind of got that look on his face, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Go up. You know, I think they've done him really well in those movies too, Godzilla. Yeah. I didn't love the design at first, but I've really grown to love it. And
it's its own thing. And but the thing I like is that it's not, if that's not your flavor, there's been other films. Now, that's not relating
that's
to Kong.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Isn't it? If that's not your thing, try Godzilla Minus One, or try.
But I actually would like another solo Kong movie on the, but I guess I don't know how you would even do that now that the universe is created.
He's like the Rorschach of that team, I think. Like, Godzilla's kind of trying to do it right, but Kong is kind of the guy. He's gonna be second fiddle, but he may be the Batman kind of the sort of.
Yeah, don't call him the Rorschach. Dirty. Rorschach is a disgusting person.
No, he meant well. He meant well. But he kind of has his own sort of code and everything, and you know, it's slightly different from Godzilla's, but he's also this sweet and tender. I mean, I'm sure a lot of this is to do with the creature design and the fact that these are apes. This is an ape that's as close to, you know, human expression as you can get. And they do it, like, it's just a joy to be in a time where you can see something like that and it holds up because the technology caught up to you know, we're now in this world where this is what I've been waiting for. You know, like I always want to see a great, you know, World War II and like action type movie. There was one a few years ago called Fury, Brad Pitt. It's great, but really depressing and dark and sad and everything. But there's something about me that kind of wants to go, can we see like one of the, you know, the fun, I know World War II wasn't fun, but maybe they could make a cool war espionage type movie and use a bigger budget or whatever. Like, this is the stuff if you're going to use the budget, use it on giant monsters, you know, not on Space Jam 2 or whatever, you know.
You mean Space Jam 3, isn't it? Like, wouldn't that be 3?
Is there a third one?
No, I'm saying Space Jam 2 came out, but I was don't spend your money on space. I don't think anyone's going to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did a second one. I know for sure.
Yeah.
I think they did, or did I sleep through it? I don't remember. I don't remember.
No, but, I remember the teenage trend of stealing heads off the action figures from that line.
From which line?
Space Jam.
They pulled the heads off of the figures?
Yeah, the famous basketball man. LeBron James. I was right. Okay. There was like this internet trend of you'd walk into a Target and all the LeBron James dolls
Oh, that
would
one.
have their
Yes. Yes.
heads
Okay.
popped off.
I remember that. I remember that. Yes. But that's also, I mean, they also made Playmates has made some a great line of toys for these movies. And they, you know, this company called Lanard,
Lannard.
LANARD.
I think it's Lannard.
Lannard.
Yeah.
So Lannard is a Walmart exclusive company.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they made all these generic, you know, army guys and cool little sets of like four figures and
Oh,
a set
yeah.
with a motorcycle.
The world needs those kind of toys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then the first license they go and get is for that, which is also an eight movie. Dwayne Johnson, was it Rampage?
Oh, Rampage.
Was
yeah.
That just like a... So that's the first license they get, and they make toys for that movie. And then the next one they get is for Skull Island. And they make like a 13, 14 inch high Kong. And then some, I think a couple of the creatures and like a Jeep with Sam Jackson and maybe the other guy, I forget. But I've got the Kong. And then Lennard ends up getting, or Lannard, whatever, ends up getting. Aliens and Predator, and there's a bunch of cool, you know,
yeah, I've seen that. I've seen them online.
budget
I've never
price.
run into them though.
Oh, they're just fun. They're just fun.
Yeah.
And then Playmates gets the Godzilla, like the Monsterverse, because now they've even made a creature from the Monsterverse TV series, or the Monarch. Sorry, the Monarch, but they call it Monsterverse, but the Monarch series, which is
Oh.
not good. It's not terrible, but it's just
I
watch it
did
for
not
Kurt
hear good
Russell.
things about that. And
No.
I saw Agents of
Again, it's
S.H.I.E.L.D.
all
and...
character stuff, and eventually you get a creature, you know, for a few minutes, but, you know, it's all character stuff and my trauma and all this shit, and it's like, oh, God, fast forward to get to Kurt Russell. But anyway, they've made these larger scale, like 12-inch figures, you know, Rodan, sorry, Mothra, several different Godzillas that, you know, when you press a button, it makes the roar and the spine lights up, and one of them has smoke that comes out of its mouth, and they've made these Kongs that are really cool. There's one for Godzilla versus Kong that comes with the axe, and then you press a button on his back and his eyes light up red and he growls and the mouth opens and he swings his arm and stuff. And then they made one for the newest one where he's got that mechanical boxing glove type thing on his yellow thing when he hurts his arm on his arm. And I just love them.
Yeah,
I just
no, I
love
get.
them. They're just like.
I like I said, I love seeing Godzilla toys in the stores. I haven't checked out the last one, but I remember last December my friend was going through a rough time, and he sent me a note saying, hey, you should go see this movie. It'll make you happy. And I
Oh,
just,
that's great. Yeah.
yeah, but I didn't see it because. I just was, I had, you know, and then you get busy and you forget, but I will check it out. I think I've got it on my streaming even.
Yeah, I think it's probably on maybe Hulu or something. I don't know, but check it out. It's fun. You just gotta go, you know, this is big and silly fun, and
oh dude,
you know.
I'm a huge fan of, you know, Space Hunter M Nebula and all that wacky stuff from I
Oh, I know.
love
That's
that.
why I think you would dig this stuff. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
no,
just
I mean, the Godzilla versus Kong started putting, as I recall, started putting a lot of that stuff in there, like more science fiction. And,
yeah, and more like an ancient civilization and like
yeah, which reminded
these
me of like
ancient.
Godzilla versus Megalon and all that stuff. So,
Yeah. I mean, there's a scene in King of the Monsters where the Asian actress from Crouching Tiger, I can't think of her name, but she starts to explain Ghidorah, and this, you know, and I'm like, well, that's right out of you know, whichever movie. Like they're doing that. They're going back to the notebooks of the mythology and stuff, and they're bringing it into this monsterverse that they're building.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
And also the other thing too is, you know, you got to let go anyway, because literally millions and millions of people are getting killed in all these movies. And that nobody, then occasionally there's an announcement like, if you know, time to evacuate the city, everyone, the last shuttle is leaving.
Yeah.
So the audience can, oh, they're going to get out of there. They're going to be safe. As if you could evacuate. Because
it would go so smoothly.
Right. Everything would go so smoothly. The city's empty. You know, we're fine.
That was the Superman movie this summer. That was the least believable thing in that movie.
Oh, 100%. But it's like, you got it better. You put it in than you don't.
Oh yeah. No, you needed to put it in there as preposterous.
It felt like an afterthought in dubbing at the end, because it suddenly you hear it as Mr. Terrific is trying to like, and tells him, hey, we got to close the steam up, whatever. And then you hear this, everyone evacuate the city. Now's the time. Yeah. It's like, come on, falling apart. But they kind of go out of their way to have them fight out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
You know, like on the aircraft carriers and Godzilla versus, that whole fight is amazing. You know, at the pyramid in the newest one, you know, they're kind of aware that, like, look, we got to have these guys, you know, and then when they go to the upside down or whatever that thing is called, whatever the land is that goes upside down, where Kong's,
I think it was
from,
the land of Dairy Queen.
The land of Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Then it's fair game. There's no people down there, so you can just, you know, throw shit around and kill each other and whatever.
No, I actually kind of respect that. You know, you can do anything you want with digital artistry, so why have it just in a city every time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most audiences do go, aren't there millions of people dying right now in this movie? And you know. Yeah, should we be celebrating this right now? I don't know. I love that song.
Oh yeah, no, they've given him personality. And they did it right.
Yeah. I just love the look of him, and you know, the aging too. They let him age a bit from Skull Island. You know, the fact that they did Skull Island in the 70s, 75. Was genius, because they're like, okay, they clearly have a plan.
Yeah.
The idea was, well, if this one works, then we're gonna, you know, come back to modern day, and he ages slowly. He could be hundreds of years old or whatever, but now he's got some gray stubble and scars on his chest or whatever. And
it was a really well thought out universe there.
Yeah, I think they're yeah. I get the Puritanism with Matt is more of a purist with the, he doesn't hate the new stuff. I'm not saying that at all. He loves Skull Island, I think, but I get it. I totally get it. It's just a different head. But for me, it's like, if I could take some of the Toho stuff and, you know, crank up the action and the monster stuff, boy, some of them are just like, oh, are they going to get to the thing yet? Are they still talking about stuff? And, you know,
I could go on and on about the bait and switches I've had in my life with movies.
I mean, the what's the Jet Jaguar one? What's that one called?
That's Godzilla versus Megalon.
Megalon. Oh my God, you're living with these guys. You're like, it's like a sitcom, and there's kind of spies and flares with a dune buggy and
a kid with an adult woman's voice.
Adult woman's voice who's got a water raft or whatever, they're trying to get his little moped going or something. Like, where is there going to be a monster at some point? Are we going to, you know, is Jet Jaguar going to do something? And you're an hour and a half in before something happens.
I just did a podcast on that movie a couple months back, and yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I hated it for a while. Now I have an undying affection for it, and I'm
I do too.
It's kind of
a comfort thing. You can just have it on. And I'm okay with it.
It was like, but it was like King Kong Escapes or Godzilla vs. King Kong. It was in rotation here. So I saw it a lot.
But I think our memory, I go back to childhood and think, when I think about watching those movies in childhood, I think it was wall to wall monsters kicking each other's asses. That's how I remember it. And it's not. They're not. If it's an hour and 15 minute movie, it's 5 minutes of monsters, maybe eight, and the rest is dialogue and subterfuge and romance. And, you know, I mean, there's one, what's the one, you know, the one where they land the rocket And then the two astronauts get off, and the one guy disappears. And then and he goes, "Where are you?" He goes, "Come on down." And then all those guys have shades on. They're wearing Evo shades. What's that one?
Yeah, they
that's
got
the one with the guy. Oh, it's got Johnny Yuma in it. The guy with Johnny Yuma. Johnny
Nick,
Yuma.
I think it's Monster Zero.
Monster Zero with Nick.
Nick. Nick Adams.
Nick Adams, who killed himself, by the way.
Yes, I know.
That one is beautiful to look at. I mean, it's just that when that rocket goes down the planet and the, you know, the little elevator that they're
on. Oh, yeah, and it's like such cool mid-century style for this future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even just for that, it's fun to watch. You know, I love him.
And he's a little James Bond in that because he sleeps with that girl. And that's
yes,
like,
he does.
Yeah, and it's like, that was a little risque for a Godzilla movie.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, and then he killed himself.
Usually,
No,
you know, the
not right after.
relationships are basically, it's always like brother, sister. You know what I mean? Like that's how the boy and the girl know each
Well,
other in the film.
Right. And I think in that same one, it might be the same one that his buddy is trying to date a woman and the brother doesn't approve.
Oh yeah, that could be.
Like
Yeah.
Her older brother is like, "I don't think you're the right fit for my daughter. I don't think you're
sister. Yeah.
You're out there doing your thing in space or whatever, and that she needs stability, and I don't approve since our parents died."
I love
and
that you're
Joe's
doing it
trying
in the dubbed voice. Like that's someone trying
Well,
to
you
fill
know what I
that
mean.
space. Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he's kind of nerdy with the Buddy Holly glasses, and gee, I hope your brother likes me, and you know,
it just
and
sounded,
it's
to
like,
me it
ah,
sounded like that rock is too heavy, I could lift a smaller one, you know, from the Bill
it
Murray
was
Hercules
Bill Murray
sketch.
that rock. If you give me 6 months, I could get myself together and I could get into better shape. it was kind of Bill Murray,
yeah.
But I love all the stuff, and I love Kong, and this is a great topic because. Oh, and there, by the way, there was another animated series, which I didn't know about till a while back. I don't know if it was born on Netflix or if it was somewhere else and I saw it on Netflix, but there's a Skull Island animated series.
Oh yeah,
too.
I did notice that. I just didn't really think it was for me.
No, not really. I just watched a few episodes and I was like, "Oh, this is kind of fun," you know.
Yeah.
I just love it's like I'm not saying love, but I really admire Stranger Things. The fact that this is coming to an end and it's like, holy shit, you know, this is really. And so I had a really rough weekend without going into detail, but I started by watching some random episodes in anticipation. And because like last week I was at Target and there's an entire aisle, like almost two full aisles devoted to Stranger Things.
Okay.
It's one of the only things that has permeated pop culture in the last 15 years or so. It really has made an impression. And these guys, whether it's your cup of tea or not, the energy and effort and love that those guys, the showrunners, have put into this property and how they've laid out the plan and the music cues and the Spielberg-esque, you know, shots and the they clearly love all the stuff we love. Even though it's not for my, like there's a generation already that's grown up with that and now is, you know, going to see it end and get emotional and whatever. I love that it exists. I love that that thing exists and that kind of care and effort is taken with something like that. That it's, you know, it's, I mean, it's got, they've got a turntable for sale, you know, and they've got, you know, Purple Rain and Madonna LPs next to it. Like there's something about all of that that is, again, it goes back to all the stuff we love has endured and has influenced all these things. And it makes me a little slightly warm inside that this stuff even exists. And so I love that these monster movies, we've got, you know, a bunch of kids. I mean, I see kids, you know, not that I'm looking for kids when I'm out, but like, you know, occasionally I see a kid like wanting to get a Godzilla mask or something in a store or whatever. And it's like, that's cool. That's just great that this is a thing. And if it gets people to try other movies or other shows or read books or comics or whatever. I love that these things hit now and then, because there's a lot of crap out there. And when something good comes along, I'm like, yeah, bring it on. It's a good feeling for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that I don't really need to be involved with, but it's like, oh, it's so cool that there's still a fan base for that. You know, that idea is still being kept alive, because that's a cool idea, which I can't bring up a single. Oh, I think maybe there's been a couple of Ultraman shows on Netflix that weren't my cup of tea, but it's and like most modern iterations of Kamen Rider are just something I cannot look at, but it's still alive.
Yeah, it's still, that's the thing. Like, I can go,
yeah.
Like, I got a DVD a while back. It might have been Amoeba or something, like a U thing. And it was like a compilation of Ultraman, different episodes of different shows. And so some of them are early days, then you get to 70s. And then by the time you get to like the 90s and the 2000s, I just can't. I can't do it, you know. But I don't, you know, it doesn't make me angry. I just go, okay, well, Ultraman is still a thing. And maybe it'll come back at some point with a different kind of budget as a different thing. But if it doesn't, the originals exist. It's still going as a brand.
Yep.
You know, someone's trying to redo it. I mean, I bitch a lot about, they just remade Amadeus, for fuck's sake. Like, it's a Sky miniseries in the UK or something.
Oh.
Why would you, who's been crying out for that? The remake of a near perfect movie. That you know, won Best Picture. Like, it's like nobody's doing original things, and that's irritating. So when even with something like Stranger Things comes along, which is clearly an amalgam of all these other things that
it's
influenced by, it's beautifully done, and it's done with true love, I think, for these you know, Spielberg and Toby Hooper and Carpenter and, you know, cheesy stuff and nerddom, being the kid that was into the, they referenced this stuff in the show about, like, well, I couldn't tell anybody I liked it then, you know, and, you know, these, you know, just, I'm like, God, that hits home, you know, like, had to hide the magazine or whatever, you know, I just love that it's in the zeitgeist, you know. There's so little that's connecting everybody now, because everything is so fleeting, and you're on to the next thing. You know, things last 2 weeks in the theater and they're streaming immediately, and it's like, yeah, I was hoping Superman was going to be the big thing, that everybody was going to be, Superman was going to be everywhere, and that didn't really happen. You know, and so
I saw a lot of that stuff.
No, I didn't. I didn't see any merch. I saw some toys,
but I didn't
see, like, t-shirts, jackets, and things, and, like, you know,
Halloween. Well, I mean, but, like, there's not much you're gonna do with the Superman logo that hasn't been available.
Well, you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm trying to think of things the last 20 years or so that didn't come from books that already existed that really made an impact. Where I remember for like two Halloweens in a row seeing people in, you know, Stranger Things costumes. You know, and the you know, 11 with the wig and everything, and iterations of that, and so on, and having, you know, live events and pop up shops and all that stuff. There's been very little original content from the last 20 years that has got into the vernacular, because it sure ain't Avatar. Because for two movies that made like $1 billion each, I don't know anybody that has ever owned it, that quotes it, that says, "Hey, you want to dress up like Na'vi this Halloween? Walk around like with feathers in our butts and painted blue?" It's like, it's hugely popular apparently, but it's not in the zeitgeist, you know? And the fact that Godzilla has kind of been an ongoing thing since 2014 now, right?
And even Kong.
Yeah. I just love it. It just makes me happy.
Yeah, me too. Happy. This is the kind of stuff I want to see on toy shelves. I wish there were more Frankensteins, but everything is, you know, there's still some signs of hope in the world, in the toy aisle anyways. I love Godzilla toys for kids. I did not have very many of those.
That's the thing. Yeah. We didn't. I never had the Shogun Warrior one. I might have had like a little rubber one, but I don't think I could find a Godzilla toy as a kid.
A Shogun Warrior's King Kong would kick ass too.
Oh, I would have been all over it. Like, I wanted that Godzilla so bad.
Oh yeah, me too.
My parents hated me, so I never got it. But
well, you know
anyway,
what? We are in good company.
Yeah, this is a great topic. Well chosen again. That was great.
Yeah, that's fun. Thanks, everybody. Would love
Thanks,
to
everybody.
Know.
That's only
was that
part one of our Easter celebration.
Our Easter celebration. Fall. But actually, what I wanted to say too was, I could go on and on about Kong knockoffs, but that would be a fun episode in its own because there's so many. And I'm such a fan that we could, you know, I could talk about my Blu-ray collection of, you know, I've got everything from, some of my favorites are the Korean one that spelt like MASH, Ape, and the Mighty.
Oh, I've seen that. I saw that one.
Yeah. And I think it's the Mighty Korga. Oh, what is it called? Oh, no, that's not it. I can't remember the name of the film, but I will for the episode because it's got like the world's worst gorilla suit ever. Like, did somebody?
I would have to do a lot of homework on those.
Yeah,
because I don't think I've seen many of those. I remember the Ape movie, which is crazy.
Yeah,
and that wasn't there. Wasn't was Trog an ape, or was he a big caveman? What was he? What was Trog? Was he a big
Trog?
Ape?
He was like a. He was like a Neanderthal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but like a missing link kind of thing.
Right.
I didn't actually. I didn't actually enjoy that film. Did you?
Trog? Which one?
Trog.
Oh no! I think I've only seen it once. Isn't it Joan Crawford? Isn't Joan Crawford?
It is. It's actually referenced in the Feud miniseries that came out a few years ago. Yeah.
And then and the band, weren't the band, didn't they take their name from
the Trogs?
The movie? Or am
I think they might have.
They?
Yeah. They may not have because it is the word troglodyte. So.
Oh, okay. So maybe not. Maybe it's the other way around or something.
Yeah. But.
Which they have one of the greatest studio outtakes of all time, that whole just sprinkle a little bit of fucking fairy dust in it, you know, make it like they're sitting around trying to talk about this with the producer what needs to be done on this record, and it goes on for 15. Nobody knows what they're talking about.
That's funny.
It's amazing. They're all
I don't think I know about that. They were playing my college 1 year in 1990, but I couldn't make it.
The Trog?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they got this older woman to come out and like sing Wild Thing and hand out the flyers.
You know, Steppenwolf played one of my dances or balls or
no shit. John Kay and Steppenwolf?
Yes.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Original dude.
Yeah. I saw him too.
I think he was from Minnesota, I think.
Actually, he was Canadian.
Okay. Then there was some kind of connection there. And so he might have been the only guy, but they played, Magic Carpet Ride and the other one,
yeah.
Wild Thing. No, not Wild Thing.
I actually saw them.
Born to Be Wild.
Born to Be Wild, yeah, which they ended with. And it was an older crowd when I went to see them. I was probably just 20.
Which they opened with, did at the midpoint, ended with. Came out and did an encore, did it again.
Yeah,
did it again.
But I got told to sit down during Born to Be Wild by a bunch of like old bikers.
Yeah, you fucking hippie. Sit down, Hyler. What are you doing? Ain't no rock concert.
Bizarre.
Get your ass kicked by Hell's Angel?
Not that day, because I said yes, sir, and sat down.
Yeah.
I knew who I was.
No, that was great. Good stuff. Thank you for picking that topic.
So tell us your favorite Kong movie in the comments below, or you can hit us up in the Pod Stallions Facebook group. We'll be back for another Halloween episode in the coming weeks. I'll let Jason pick the topic.
Hey, here we go.
All right.
We're going to do Trog. All right.